Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Still true. Still so true. I did make a vow. I failed miserably, but I made a vow that I would not have road rage once I was allowed to get back out there and drive Leia again. I did not fill my gas tank for 7 weeks. That is the longest I've ever gone in my entire life. That car sat in the driveway, like many of you, without moving other than the weekly trip to the grocery store and a couple of mornings at the park just so I could get out of the house. Until they shut down the parks, of course. And now that I'm back driving and in traffic, and it has increased, I will say that. In the New York City area, it seems like it's back to what it was for the most part, mornings as well as nights. I will admit to some road rage that pops up every now and then. Trying to limit it as much as possible to be on a bit of a joy ride as opposed to an angry ride. But it's not always in my nature to be patient. In fact, it's not in my nature to be patient. Patience is not my virtue, but I'm working on it every day. No matter how old I get, that's always going to be my goal, to be the patient soul. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. If you're waking up on a Thursday, we're glad to keep you company. I know sometimes it hurts to wake up before the sun, but here we are, so we might as well make the best of it. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Fun question that we're bandying about, we're debating, we're discussing. Some of your answers made me laugh out loud. It's an answer that can take many different forms. Truth be told, we don't actually have the answer. How many NFL teams out there would take Trevor Lawrence right now? And 32 is not the answer. I don't mean to have him as trade bait. Of course, any team out there would take him because he's a valuable commodity. But I'm referring to taking him and having him be their quarterback. And it's interesting that the answers vary from just a handful, one, two, three, or four, to most of the teams in the NFL. Again, those of you who are saying 32, I disagree. So maybe it's easier to tell me the teams that wouldn't take him, that you don't think would consider Trevor Lawrence an upgrade over what they've got. And make sure you chew over all the factors. The money that they've already paid to their quarterback, how much would they lose? Now, rookies are cheaper, but eventually you're going to have to pay Trevor Lawrence if he's your new QB. How about the time invested in the quarterback you've got? You got to start all over again when it's a rookie. As much as people want to hail Trevor Lawrence like he's the second coming of, give me the best quarterback ever, Tom Brady. No, he's not really a Tom Brady, but they're not. Their styles are so different. I don't know. Just pick your favorite quarterback of all time. Mine is John Elway. He's, as people want to hail him as the second coming of your favorite quarterback ever, we don't know that yet. Does he have all the tools? Is he teachable, coachable? Everything about Trevor Lawrence and everything that we hear from the people around him points to a definitive yes. He would be a magnificent addition to your locker room. He's gracious. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's a leader. He's well-spoken. He's intelligent. He's thoughtful. He's sensible. He's calm. And he's been a powerful voice in the debate over college football. Remember, he and Justin Fields of Ohio State, as well as others around the college football landscape, they joined together and started the We Want to Play movement that hit social media hard. Trevor's also got a big heart for seeing change in our country in a variety of ways. And he's put his money where his mouth is, essentially. He's got different charitable endeavors that he's involved with. He's already engaged to be married. So he's forward thinking. So a lot to like about this young man, not just the football. I believe he would be a great addition to any locker room, but you're not going to bring him on board to have him sit behind your current star quarterback for years. That's not what you do with a Trevor Lawrence. So think about it. In the case of the Seattle Seahawks, it does them no good to draft Trevor Lawrence, even if they could. They could get their hands on him. It does them no good. Russell Wilson, unless something would happen physical, like a physical injury, physical-wise, he's going to play more than 5 years still. And so Trevor Lawrence would have played through his rookie contract, and the Seahawks would lose him. They don't want him in Kansas City. They love what they've got. And let's be honest, there isn't a quarterback right now that's better than Patrick Mahomes. I don't care, college, pro, nothing. He's the real deal. Right now, he's the top of the mountain, king of the hill, so to speak. I like this tweet from Lee. The only logical team, Trevor Lawrence, no relation, I assume. That's what he wrote in the tweet, would be the Jets. I don't think I agree with you. Crazy things happen in the NFL. Crazy things happen in sports. I still believe that the Jets that are on the roster, including Sam Darnold, want to win desperately. I don't think they want to lose. They don't care who's coming behind them. They don't care if the franchise covets Trevor Lawrence. They don't want to be the third team in NFL history ever to run through an entire season with no wins. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. Nobody wants to be in that position. Not to mention their jobs are on the line. You don't think Sam Darnold, he doesn't even have to read the writing on the wall or read between the lines. All he has to do is listen to what people are saying. Really hard to drown that out in New York, let me just tell you. Sam Darnold knows what happens if this team goes winless or ends up with the number one pick. He's out of a job. He's starting all over. Maybe. I still think that Sam Darnold has a lot of good qualities. It's hard to evaluate him where he is right now. But all you got to do is look at what happened to Josh Rosen. Was he drafted number 10 a few years ago? Three years ago? And where is he now? I don't even know. Because that's what happens a lot of times when a young quarterback gets drafted into a wrong system, a bad situation. They don't know how to develop him. They don't have the offensive line, the receivers, or any kind of help in place. You throw him into the mix, and it's a disaster. Because a young quarterback has got to learn too. One former NFL MVP recently said to me, all rookies are awful, meaning quarterbacks. I mean, they may have some moments of brilliance, but they're essentially lost out there. They're trying to figure it out as they go along. It takes time. Kurt Warner told us it could take 2, 3, 4 years for a quarterback to get comfortable. And if he's not developed correctly, well, then he never gets comfortable as a pocket passer, as a guy who can operate behind his line. And so it's hard a lot of times to know what you have or what you don't have when the team is terrible. But the Jets all know the writing on the wall, so they're not attempting to tank, which means they could end up winning a couple of games. I know you all think I'm nuts when I say that, but stranger things have happened. I didn't have to wear a Johnny Manziel jersey because the Cleveland Browns went 1-15 and not 0-16. So you never know what could happen down the road. Who gets hurt? And so there are teams that are in the running for that number one pick outside of the Jets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Let's talk to Mike, who's in Jacksonville. Let's see if your phone connection's any better, Mike.
Hi, can you hear me, Amy?
Hearing you wasn't the problem. Hearing me was the problem.
All right, I can hear you great. All right, listen.
wasn't the problem either.
There's no doubt. Jets are getting the first pick. They're not winning a game this year. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule. Who are they beating? They're not beating anybody.
Any team can beat any other team on any given day, man. It's just it's sports. If none of the upsets ever happened, we wouldn't bother watching because we'd already know how things were going to play out. These guys all get paid. Trust me, it happens all the time. A team that shouldn't win, has no business winning on paper, wins anyway.
They're going to get the first pick in my mind. You know, I'm a 50-year Jet fan. Today's actually my birthday. I'm 63.
Happy birthday!
Thank you. I've been watching the Jets since 1968. This is the worst team they've ever had. They're not going to win a game this year. I'm telling you right now. So, if Trevor Lawrence decides he's not coming out, then what do they do?
Well, I think that's a very slim possibility. I know that you're reacting to what he said this week. Actually, hang on, and we'll play it for everybody else here so that they can hear. Trevor was asked about his future plans and whether or not he is going to leave school and declare for the NFL.
Just really focused on this year, not trying to look ahead, not trying to worry about that. Obviously, I can't control it, and really just trusting that God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out.
He has said all along that the plan is to depart, but why would he be answering that question now with anything other than, I'm going to wait and see, I'm going to talk to my family, we're going to figure out what's best for us. It's one of those things where I kind of applaud him for playing his cards close to the vest, because what does he stand to gain by saying now, yes, I'm definitely departing?
All right, so let's say the Jets get the first pick. And he doesn't want to come out, so now they can get a killing. Are you convinced that Darnold is a bust?
No. With the Jets, kind of is, but I think the Jets as a team have a lot to do with that. I still think there are teams out there, maybe not as a starting situation, but that would take Sam Darnold, try to work with him, and figure out, you know, if they can draw those qualities again and develop him. He was a really high draft pick, and he's got some really good qualities. I like his leadership. I think that he's got a passion and a drive, and I believe he's coachable as well if he could get somebody to work with him.
Right, so they got a bunch of draft picks. Next year they got two first-round picks. They got two first-round picks this year, plus their second round is the first round. You know, the first pick in the second round, that's another first-round pick. I mean, they have a loaded draft pick. So, I don't know. Do you keep Darnold, or do you take the load that you can get for Trevor Lawrence?
No, I think if you're the Jets and you get the number one pick, you take Trevor Lawrence. I mean, as much as Sam Darnold may be a really good quarterback, we don't actually know that. I think it's pretty obvious that they would take Trevor Lawrence because you can start fresh, and probably you're starting with a new head coach and all this stuff, right? So Sam may be good, but if you believe what the scouts and others say about Trevor Lawrence, he could be great.
Right. So what can you get for Darnold then? Can you get a second-round pick?
Probably. I don't think I would go any higher than that. Again, because his stock has dropped considering what he's looked like and at times confused. And, I mean, I won't even use the ghost line. But, I mean, it's been rough. It's been rough with the Jets, no doubt. He's had a couple of different coaches, different systems. The lines are bad. Who is he throwing to? I mean, it's just a total disaster. And at times he looks frantic out there, skittish out there. So, yeah, I think the team would take him. Like I said, it may be a Josh Rosen situation where he comes in to kind of develop and learn. But I don't think you're going to get anything incredible for him. In fact, if teams know that the Jets want to move him, his stock or his trade value drops because they just wait. They'll wait for him to get cut if they think that, you know, nobody's going to grab him up right away.
What about Gaze? I'm not sure about it.
I can't believe we're having this long conversation about the Jets. I don't think Gaze is long for this world.
I mean, I feel bad for Gaze because he's got no talent there. I mean, I don't know. Do you think it's all Gaze's fault?
No, it's never that simple. It's never one guy's fault. But I think Gaze, as much as he's got... he's an alpha male, but it's a negative type of vibe, it seems like, all the time. And that's not what the Jets need right now. It just doesn't feel like they've got the spirit, the attitude, the approach that they need to keep going forward. They seem so defeated and dejected all the time that that it's difficult, I think, to, you know, to operate in a system where it's just so bleh. It's just, I mean, his, it's more negative energy, it feels like, than positive, which is the difference with Joe Judge, who's a lot more chipper and excited. Mike, I'm going to let you go. We've got a lot to do, but thank you so much for your phone call in Jacksonville. 855-212-4227. Tyler on Facebook right now. The Jets, the Panthers. Interesting that people are putting the Panthers in there. The Jets, the Panthers, the Patriots, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Broncos, the Saints for the future, Washington, the Raiders, the Colts, the Chargers. I mean, a lot of you are putting together a massive list, more than half of the teams in the NFL, which I do think is probably accurate. Kev on Facebook, I'm listening right now. The Atlanta Falcons should take Trevor Lawrence. That's a good fit. Just saying. Football-wise, Matt's getting old. I think he'd be a good look. Nobody wants to go to the Jets. You know, it's kind of interesting. There is this talk as well that if the Jets end up with a number one pick, the Trevor Lawrence might either stay in school because he believes that Clemson would be more fun, or he would finagle a trade similar to what Eli Manning did back when he was drafted. Remember, he was not drafted by the Giants. He was drafted by, do you guys remember? The San Diego Chargers. And he did not want to play in San Diego, or LA as it were. And he ends up, his family, they kind of stiff-armed their way out of Southern California and into New York. It worked out great for both franchises, but could that be something that Trevor Lawrence would do? He certainly would hold a lot of negotiating power. The Jets don't want to take a guy who doesn't want to be around or who refuses to go. Then you're losing that number one pick, and chances are you're not going to get it again. So, but it would be a risk for Lawrence, though, too, because even though he's incredible, you never know what might happen. If you go back to school, is there an injury? Or just for the sake of argument, someone else comes along that's hellfire and brimstone, and all of a sudden you're not the number one pick, or you don't have a great season or something. I remember what happened with Matt Leinart. I mean, that situation, that debate about coming out of school, going back to school. He went back to USC and shoot, did he drop to number 10? Please forgive me if I have that number wrong, but it wasn't the same lightning in a bottle for him and for USC when he went back. It's just, there's all kinds of things that could happen. You never know how things could play out. And so going back to school would be a risk for Trevor as well, though maybe not a massive risk considering that he's at Clemson. So what do you think? On Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On Twitter, we've got our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. Glad to have you with us on a Thursday morning. Start of week 8 in the NFL. What is that about? Also, I'm fasting. So the longer I talk without food, the more cranky I'm going to get. It's probably a good thing we're in our final hour.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Full second down, 5. Got it in the shotgun. Throws a pass far sideline. Leaping interception across the way. Jalen Ramsey got that ball with the interception on the far side of the field. First of the season, a big time pick at the 39-yard line of Chicago on the far sideline.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. We love Kevin Harlan. And Dave and I are also big fans of Nick Foles, but that Chicago offense is abysmal. Meager would be another word to describe it. And I continue to point to the lack of a run game. It's a heck of a lot easier to game plan for a team that has zero run game. They've got to be more creative in their offense. And I think that's on Matt Nagy as much as it is on Nick Foles to execute. I'm not sure if you heard about this. I wouldn't call it a controversy. It's just stupid stuff. But there was a moment on Monday Night Football. Now, I was listening to Kevin and Kurt Warner on Westwood One because Kurt was joining us after the show or after that broadcast. And so I was listening to them, and I was not watching Monday Night Football with the sound up. But apparently, Brian Griese, who's now part of the MNF team on ESPN, was referring to a conversation he had with Nick Foles in preparation for the game. So often the broadcasters have access to the coaches, to the quarterbacks, and very often there is information exchange that these athletes expect will remain private, or at the very least, their names won't be attached to it, okay? So apparently, Brian Griese says Nick Foles told him that Matt Nagy will call plays in and will have no idea that those plays are not possible with the little amount of time he has to throw, meaning he's under siege. The offensive line a lot of times is not holding up. Now, sometimes it does, but it doesn't always. And the play that's being brought in is not one that's viable considering the pressure that's coming. And so Foles is having to adjust on the fly and it turns into a big mess. He's also not a mobile quarterback, and so he's not going to be running from pressure. Now, that's what Brian Griese said that he got from Nick Foles. Foles then had to backpedal because he was asked about it after the game. And so who knows? Foles is saying that it, you know, there was a miscommunication. That's not what he said. I tend to think that when quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks who played at the NFL level, get together, they'll talk about these kind of things kind of informally off the record. And that Foles did say something like that, not expecting that it would ever be used on the broadcast. Whoo, you got to be careful what you say to broadcasters. I mean, even if they are former NFL QBs, they're also trying to keep their jobs in the broadcast booth. So yeah, that I don't know that it was offensive. So I it's not like he was insulting his head coach. He was only saying that sometimes, you know, there's a bit of a disconnect because what Matt Nagy wants him to run isn't possible considering how quickly the pressure gets there. But you don't actually want to have that be on a national broadcast, you know? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We've discovered in throwing this question out at you about Trevor Lawrence that it might actually be easier to eliminate the teams that would not take Trevor Lawrence right now and then leave the others. And it's been interesting to hear your answers. Yes, there is still a question of whether or not Trevor will declare. He hasn't done it yet. And until he does, we don't know for sure. The same question was asked about Tua following his injury. And so the question I'm asking you is how many teams would take him right now if they could? I know most of these teams won't have access to him, but let's say in a perfect world, every team in the NFL has a shot at Trevor Lawrence. How many would take him right now? And you got to consider all of the factors. If you just paid a quarterback, well, unless you're going to find a trade partner. So in the case of the Texans and Deshaun Watson, there's likely to be multiple trade partners out there who would take Watson as their starting QB. But what about if you've got a quarterback that's in the prime of his career? You're not going to take Trevor Lawrence right now. So we use the Seahawks as the example because he would never see the field unless something bad happened to Russ. Russ seems pretty indestructible right now. So how many teams out there would consider Lawrence to be an upgrade over what they have right now or would expect him to take over for an older quarterback immediately? Maybe not immediately, maybe in the next year, kind of like the Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith situation. So that's the question. And we're finding it's a little bit easier to take the teams out of the equation that definitely wouldn't want Trevor Lawrence right now. So of course the Chiefs, I say the Seahawks are in there. I think the Cardinals are probably in there too. They love Kyler Murray. Just Trevor Lawrence is such a different physical specimen than Kyler. But I mean, Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, they're a match made in heaven right now. I don't think the Bills would take Trevor Lawrence. I think they love Josh Allen and they put a lot of investment in him. And to start all over again, I mean, Josh and Sean McDermott have a great connection. I think they really like him. He's gritty. He's perfect for Western New York. He's perfect for the Buffalo Bills, the kind of blue collar franchise that they consider themselves. So I think they like him and I think they've hitched their wagon to his star. I don't think Miami would take him now. They're happy with Tua. At least they think they're going to be happy with Tua. Baltimore's good with Lamar Jackson. Gosh, Joey Burrow, he's the man in Cincinnati. So, and Cleveland, I'd love to hear from some of you Browns fans. Do you think that Trevor Lawrence would be an upgrade over Baker Mayfield? When Baker was a rookie, he set a record for passing touchdowns. It's been up and down since then, but there've also been what feels like a million coaching changes. There's been a lot of instability there. We see the potential every now and then. It's just that he's either all or nothing, it seems like. Baker Mayfield's an all or nothing quarterback. He can find that consistency. But if you're Cleveland, would you take Trevor Lawrence and say, Trevor's, he's ready-made? we wouldn't have to invest anymore in a roller coaster ride. I'm just asking. So on Twitter, A Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I did my CBS Sports Minute on another AFC North team, adding Dez Bryant. Really, it was more about Dez than it was about the Ravens, but I love how excited they are. I stumbled upon this little nugget. This, my friends, is your nerd alert. Do you know, not only would Dez Bryant be the oldest receiver on the roster with the most experience, so he's 31, the other guys on the roster are younger, so earlier in their careers. But how about this? The career touchdown number for Dez Bryant at this point is 73. Collectively, all of the receivers on Baltimore's roster have 29 touchdowns in their careers. All of them. And so you're talking about a guy who's got a lot more experience and could maybe add some wisdom, some maturity. I do tend to think that going through 2 years, it's been nearly 2 years since he tore his Achilles, going through 2 years of rehab and recovery and also doubts about whether or not you'd ever get another opportunity, that tends to change a person. It tends to change a man, an athlete. I believe this Dez Bryant will be more grateful, more gracious, more willing to do whatever it takes. Less willing to yell at a coach. I mean, he's coming in as the low man on the totem pole too. Desperate to get off the practice squad and onto the field. But 73 career touchdowns for Dez. The rest of the Baltimore receivers together only have 29.
They know who they run and they talk to.
I won't ever, 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 ever.
I won't ever, 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 ever.
I can't wait to hear from Dez again. I'm telling you, when you get an athlete who's older and it comes face-to-face with his own mortality because of an injury, often they turn out kinder and gentler. I was able to root for Kobe Bryant like I never had before after he got hurt because he changed. His whole attitude, his whole perspective changed. So I'm rooting for you. Welcome back, Dez Bryant. I don't feel quite the same way about Antonio Brown, but apparently his first practice was fantastic, if you believe Bruce Arians. So we'll let you hear from Coach coming up, and we'll get to more of your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter and Facebook, how many teams would consider Trevor Lawrence an upgrade or the very, not quite immediate, but very soon, that's so dumb, so awkward, a soon-to-be successor to what they have right now? Yes, I talk for a living, but I told you, I'm fasting. This is getting worse and worse.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
...48-yard extra point. Hash mark left side to secure the win for the Lions. Muehlbach to snap. There it is. Fox the hold. Kick away. It is up. It is good. It is good. We got another flag down. What is it? This is over. Pack it up, boys, and come home. Come home with your second straight win. Come home with a last-second victory over the Falcons.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dan Miller inviting the Lions to come home on the Lions Radio Network. A 48-yard extra point, because that's so the Lions. And the Falcons lose that game in a stunner. Remember Todd Gurley? He ends up falling into the end zone. He tried to stop. It didn't work. The Lions prefer to tell people their side of the story is that they let him score. So he falls in. There's enough time left for Matt Stafford to just throw darts down the field. And then, of course, the TJ Hockenson touchdown, which is one of our candidates for TD of the week. They had to make the extra point. They win. But as you hear Dan say, drives a stake into the heart of the Falcons, who, of course, are still sitting on that one win. And it hurts and it's painful, but a short work week and no time to think about it at all, according to Julio Jones.
Only thing that matters right now for us is Carolina. So, you know, we're just trying to get the mental aspect of the game together and get our bodies right, you know, moving forward.
Playing on Thursday night makes you get out of you know, the funk that you're in after a tough loss yesterday. And so, you know, I think getting back into a game plan quickly, you know, talking with coaches this morning, starting to make plans for Thursday night kind of helps.
Julio Jones and then Matt Ryan in the immediate aftermath of the loss to the Detroit Lions. Now they get to take on the Carolina Panthers, who had their own painful loss. There's a good back and forth against the New Orleans Saints, but ultimately the Saints prevailed in that divisional matchup, and it was 27-24 final. Actually, the Saints have been playing a lot of close games. They've now won three consecutive games, but in none of those, Lions, Chargers, Panthers, have they won by more than 6 points. So, and they have essentially played all of their games to a spread that was 10 points or fewer. So their loss to the Raiders was by 10 points. They beat the Buccaneers by 11, but all of them have been within two scores. So you're talking about a Saints team that's living on the edge. The Panthers are starting to push teams more and more. Remember, they won those three games in a row. They're now at 3-4 with the expanded playoffs. Sure, it's a long shot in the NFC, but a lot can happen week 8 moving forward. And there is the possibility that Christian McCaffrey will step in again. So he's been practicing. Don't know whether or not he's going to be able to go. But Matt Rhule, he's divulging nothing, just thinking about who can get out there.
From any injury, every day is crucial. You know, the more time you have, the more important it is. You know, the better chance you have of playing. You know, that being said, you know, we're playing on Thursday night, and you know, for our whole team, whoever can go is going to go, and whoever can't, we'll trust their backups.
Yesterday's tape, you know, you watch it either last night or this morning, and then got to turn the page. It's a short week. Luckily, it's a team that we're familiar with. We played a couple weeks ago.
So Teddy Bridgewater also saying the same thing as Matt Ryan. You just got to get past it, turn the page, move on. And so they've already taken on the Falcons, and they beat them. That's going back to that three-game win streak. And Mike Davis has been a force since Christian McCaffrey got hurt. Davis in that game had nearly 100 yards rushing. We know Teddy Bridgewater has looked really spry. So it'll be fun to see these two teams match up. At the time, the Falcons had not won. Right after they lost to Carolina, that was when they let Dan Quinn go. So different voice now with Raheem Morris. Are they the same old Falcons? Maybe. There's been talk that both Julio Jones and Matt Ryan are on the trade block. So we'll see what happens. But week 8 kicks off tonight with the Falcons in Charlotte against the Panthers, an NFC South battle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of the NFC South, oh, segue! The top team in the South Division is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They look better and better every week, and now they've added Antonio Brown, who has cleared the COVID protocols.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. I think we had really good conversations today, he and I, and he was with the meeting. He was in the meetings and everything, and he's working with Anthony Proley and the strength staff. He looks in great shape, and yeah, ready to go.
It is going to be interesting to see how they work all these different guys in. We know that Chris Godwin has the broken finger, so Bruce Arians said that it was a surprise to him after last week's game. He didn't realize that Godwin had broken a finger and needed surgery. He's out for a couple of weeks. But still, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski's all smiles these days in the void with O.J. Howard. He stepped in, and we see that same old chemistry with Tom Brady. We know that they've got Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette, and they really like to use that run game as well. What about Cameron Brate, who's another option? Scotty Miller, who's seen his game and his reps elevated because of the Tom Brady factor. So there's a lot of different guys that you could include. 9 different guys caught passes from Tom Brady last week. And so there's a lot of mouths to feed there, but Antonio Brown, you would think, would be on his best behavior considering that he's coming off a suspension after week number 8 and that he would want to prove himself as still a viable candidate for a starting job in the league. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know, coming up on Sunday, we'll be deep in the throes of week number 8. And the NFL on CBS features a matchup of two elite teams fighting for division supremacy. Oh, I can't wait for this game. The Pittsburgh Steelers take their ironclad defense to Baltimore for a battle against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, plus a key AFC showdown between the Bills and Patriots as well. Join JB and the guys as they get you set for all of the day's action on the NFL today. It starts at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. How many teams out there would consider Trevor Lawrence an upgrade right now, or a guy that very soon they would insert into their starting lineup? So if it's a departing quarterback, a Drew Brees, soon a Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, they're going to need an option behind him in Pittsburgh fairly shortly. There's a lot of different ways that it could play out, but how many teams would take Trevor Lawrence right now as an upgrade? Not as a guy that they're going to trade, but as a guy that they want to keep. Let's talk to Tommy, who's in Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you before I get to the QBs. Aaron Jones, how serious is his calf injury? Is it going to keep him out of this game? Or?
Yeah, right now there hasn't been anything definitive that I've seen. Certainly if you're a running back and you have a calf injury, it's difficult sometimes to push off. I mean, he's been a big part of what they're doing. But at the same time, I think in the case of the Packers, they like the fact that they've brought up a lot of, or they've increased the balance on their offense too. That's a credit to Aaron Rodgers and the fact that he also raises the level of play of everybody else around him. I don't know for sure. The last that I heard, they were not practicing. He, along with Mason Crosby and a couple of other guys. And so we'll see. We may not know until right before the game. But I think right now most of the Packers reporters think that he won't play Sunday, that they'll hold him out another week. We just don't know for sure.
Okay. So he might not play this game, but maybe the next game or something.
Yeah, so this week they have the Vikings, obviously, and then they have a short work week and they take on the 49ers in San Francisco.
I think down on Lambeau.
No, that game's at Levi Stadium.
Oh, okay. One of them's in Lambeau, I think.
Vikings is at Lambeau, yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, and the QBs, I think he'd be good for, like, all the Saints and the Buccaneers and probably the Jets and the Giants.
Probably the Jets, yeah. Wait, you think the Giants, though?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I really do, you know. But I'll tell you, for the Packers, I would say the Packers would definitely not take them because they see that they made a mistake by taking that one.
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love, yeah. And Aaron's been... He's been playing a phenomenal ball. He can make passes on the run and
he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for sure.
Yeah, he made a 13-yard run just when he played the Saints, I think.
Yeah, so here I actually don't think I agree with you, Tommy, about the Packers. I have no idea what they have in Jordan Love. We haven't seen him. The idea was not to put Jordan Love out there right away. It was to kind of groom him the same way that they did with Aaron when Brett was still the starter, Brett Favre. So I don't think they're planning on putting Jordan Love out there immediately. They were just kind of thinking down the road. But if you can get a Trevor Lawrence and you can bring him behind Aaron Rodgers, I feel like that would be optimal for the Packers. I don't think they're going to get their hands on him. I think that's probably a non-starter. But still, if you can get Trevor Lawrence and you go from Aaron Rodgers to Trevor Lawrence and you have time to get him ready, that's a no-brainer.
I don't think that he could be as good as Rodgers.
Well,
I think
that's Rodgers, not the question. We don't have any idea. He's not taking a snap in the NFL. I mean, Rodgers is a Hall of Fame quarterback, but it doesn't mean Trevor can't be good.
Right. I'm just saying that for right now, I think Aaron's got a lot left in the tank.
Sure.
And probably he's got a good 7 years left in him.
Interesting.
I mean, that's my opinion.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Brady even said that how Aaron makes it look so easy.
He does. But one day it's easy and the next day it's not. That's kind of how it goes.
And he believes that Aaron's better than himself even.
I mean, Aaron's great. We're talking in the present right now. Aaron's great. I'm going to have you answer the question, though. I got to let you go because we have another caller. So come on, hustle up. Or is that your answer?
What's that?
Oh. All right, no, we're good, Tommy. I appreciate that.
I was just saying that.
No, I gotta let you go. I got you. We're gonna move on to another caller. Thank you, Tommy. We want to get to Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan, I'm not kidding. You have 90 seconds. Go.
Oh yeah, no worries. I just want to give an interesting landing spot for Lawrence. I think they can trade up.
Who?
Prescott to improve their defense and line to land, and then for 90-second thing. I think Dez landing in Baltimore is going to be a lesser repeat of Steve Smith.
That'd be fun.
And then what's the third?
Wait,
thing
did you say that you think the Cowboys should trade up and get Trevor for Dak? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, trade Dak for improve the defense and an offensive line. And then third thing I was going to say was I got a quick Super Bowl prediction. It's going to be Kansas City and Tampa Bay, kind of obvious. And yeah,
okay,
that's pretty much it. Appreciate
all right, well, you make sure you call me back if those two teams don't make it to the Super Bowl, okay?
All right.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, I call all the time. All right, see ya.
Do you know what's so funny to me? Trevor Lawrence was asked the question of whether or not he would stay or go. I mean, that was something that comes up. And now it's become he's saying he'll stay in school if the Jets or Giants are going to draft him. He never said that. That is speculation. It's pure speculation. Trevor did not say that. And yet there's a post on our Facebook page. Trevor's already warning that he will stay at Clemson another year if the Jets or Giants are in play. That he never said that. He doesn't have representation yet either, or he shouldn't. That would be a violation. So his agent never said that either. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. What did Klay Thompson say a few years ago? We have the drop in our computer somewhere. A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to put his pants on. Oh, that's so true, especially when it comes to social media and how quickly things get blown out of proportion, how quickly teams become kind of the story, even where there was no story. In this case, it's the Jets and Giants who are repulsive to Trevor Lawrence. Oh, is that kind of like Zion Williamson? He didn't want to go to New Orleans. I mean, sometimes you take what's in front of you. I feel like probably 2/3 of the teams out there would take him right now if they could get their hands on him. There's a few that wouldn't. But it's such a fascinating discussion because we don't know what he'll be in the NFL. All right, we're back tonight after Panthers-Falcons to wrap up our work week. Have a great Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.